All right, so the NFL coming off week one. I mentioned that Thursday was kind of boring. Sunday was not. There was a lot of content and a lot to talk about. Joining us right now is a Pats insider for NBC Sports Boston, friend of the program, has long been coming on this show. I'm speaking of Tom Curran. Tom, what's going on? How are you?
Here's my guy. What's up, Romy?
My man, Tom Curran. How you living?
Everything's great. Really great. It's I'm just happy football's back. And I know that there's a lot of side stuff we're having to cover, a lot of soap opera stuff, but I think the product looked really good yesterday. The officiating wasn't irritating. There were some competitive games, great storylines, and it looks like my underestimation of the Patriots' offensive weaponry is about to get crammed down my throat.
My man, Tom Curran, joining us. All right, so why don't we start right there. For a team, Tom, that had to replace its Hall of Fame tight end and its D coordinator and supposedly had some other questions to answer, how good was last night for the Patriots?
Phenomenal. And I think that it's funny, you alluded to the coaching right there, and I don't want to undermine anything that the players did, but I think that showed you that the way this train keeps moving. And I know that NBC showed, you know, Dante Scarnecchia and Ivan Sears and Belichick and Brady and McDaniels. I think that continuity makes an immense difference, because when you take the individuals on the Patriots offense, some of them are really good and some of them are useful. Rex Burkhead, you know, James White's great in the system, but Philip Dorsett, but they confuse you so badly because they can have these complex offensive schemes that you leave a Steelers team that's supposed to be okay on defense so confused they're losing people left and right.
We're talking to Tom Curran. Exactly, Tom. So to that point, if last night was that good for the Patriots, and it was, how bad was last night for the Steelers?
I don't know how many other teams in the NFL can stress you like the Patriots do with all those formations and all the intricacies of post-snap foolishness that they're going to throw at you, personnel groupings and all that. So probably not as bad as it looked for the Pittsburgh Steelers, offensively or defensively, because I think the Patriots, they're not scheme-related on defense in terms of how good they are. They do have good scheme, but they're really talented personnel-wise, too.
Tom Curran, Patriots insider for NBC Sports Boston, is joining us. Tom, let me ask you something, because you know the Patriots as well as anybody or better. So let me pose the question that I ask about pretty much of everyone that I talk to around the league. How do you explain a 42-year-old man completing two-thirds of his passes for nearly 350 yards and three touchdowns against a defense that people thought was pretty good?
He knows where it's supposed to go. As he said to Peter King a couple of years ago after they won the Super Bowl, I know the answers to the test. So it's a matter of dropping back, having decent protection, getting it out fast, and if he's not having decent protection, finding whoever should be available. There's going to be times, and there were plenty of times last year, when he looked all at 41, and we talked about the cliff and whether he was meeting it. And to me, it was personnel last year when he wasn't able to do that, and scheme. They weren't able to get the O's in the right place to beat the X's, and that's why he looked poor. Last night and ongoing, they put him in a position to succeed, and if all you have to do is that, and you know, Romy, he reminds me of Nolan Ryan. He was still throwing at 46 in the 90s. There is something different about players like him, Nolan Ryan, Zdeno Chara, Manu Ginobili, all these guys who play so long, you know, Vince Carter. And I don't think that it is as rare as we think when we really look closely at it, if the guys take care of themselves and have a certain set of genetics.
Tom Curran joining us. Go back to your first point, though. The guys who take care of themselves, I mean, yeah, we see other athletes competing into their 40s at a high level, but how is it possible? The thing that blows my mind, Tom, about Brady is that he's lost nothing in terms of his desire to compete, win, but most of all, prepare. How is it possible that with all the wins and all the rings, that it never made him soft or comfortable or complacent, that he still is on that grind like he always has been?
It's interesting that I think if you really investigate year by year, there were periods where he hit lulls and dropped a little bit in intensity. But once he realized that he was about to get Bledsoed in 2014 and they brought Jimmy Garoppolo in, and he said, they're about to do to me and take me out behind the barn the way I did to Drew. I see it coming. I'm not going to let it happen. Because the period of time, look, he was the league MVP deservedly in 2010, unanimously. But 11, 12, and 13, he wasn't quite as sharp. And that's a fact if you watch those games and some of the performances. And some of it had to do with personnel. But I really think the presence of Garoppolo made him say, okay, how good do I want to be? How long do I want to play? What's the commitment level I'm going to make? And he said, screw it. I'm all in. And the most important thing to me is his passion is just body health for himself. And he wants to pass that on, as we've seen with the TB12 stuff. It's not this crystals and waterfalls and meditation place. It's a gym and a rehab center that he wants everyone to go to. So that's part of the reason, I think, Jim, that he's so passionate about it and is able to keep – he devotes himself like your trainer or somebody else's trainer does to getting up every day and saying, how well can I eat today? How much can I lift? How far can I go?
I think you're right. It's a lifestyle, and it's also a brand, and it's a business, and then he can easily point to it and say, look, I know it works. Look at me. I'm a living example that it works, and you should do the same thing. Tom Curran's joining us. Tom, you mentioned the coaching staff. I mean, a lot of that credit obviously goes to Tom Brady, but then you look at the offensive scheme that Josh McDaniels drew up last night, all the different looks he threw at them. At this point in time, how would you describe the relationship between Brady and McDaniels?
They're sharing a brain. And I think there are times when both of them have frustrations with the other. And we saw that bubble over on the sidelines a couple of years ago in Buffalo. There are times that they'd like Brady to be more aggressive. There are times that I believe, you know, Brady would like things to go differently and be surrounded by more toys. Or, you know, the Gronkowski situation is pretty well documented in 2017. Don't have to revisit it. But I think right now they're in an unbelievably good place. Because, you know, they're probably in the fourth quarter of the operation here. You know, they're well into the back nine. They're probably on the 16th tee if we're talking about it as a goal, as how long it's going to go.
Sure.
So they're going to enjoy the last three holes.
Tom Curran is joining us. It's a good analogy. And Tom, you made it. We actually made it this far without talking about Antonio Brown. Before I let you go, let me bring this up. You had a piece for NBC Sports Boston that was posted on Thursday night where you made the argument that the Patriots should not sign Antonio Brown. Lay it out for me. Why do you think they would have been better off avoiding him?
At that juncture, he had torn two teams apart. He had made them look ridiculous. He quit on both of them. Bringing him in means you're going to expect the player to go from being an absolute maniac to completely normal in a snap. And I think that it's also rewarding a player who has somewhat flown in the face of all that Bill Belichick holds dear in terms of teams, etc. And we could talk about Ocho or Albert Haynesworth or Corey Dillon or LeGarrette Blount, throw them all out there. I think that what Antonio Brown has just finished precipitating last week trumps all of them in terms of erratic behavior. That's why I made the case. Now that he's here, I'm looking forward to watching the football, but I do wonder how long he can keep it up. And the other thing I'm sure you got to go is, how tolerant will the Patriots be if he spends 6 to 8 weeks of being a saint and then starts to revert? Will it be one strike and you're out then?
Tom, it's a great question. Can you answer it for me? How do you think that will go if he starts doing Antonio Brown things?
I think he'll get latitude. I think that they will. I think that they'll get hooked on the. I think they'll get hooked on the product. I really do, which is probably fine.
How do you see him fitting in with the other receivers and the rest of that team?
Socially, great. On the field, it'll be interesting because, as the Steelers writers were pointing out to me last night when I asked, you know, what's the care and handling of a player like this for a teammate, he does what he wants after the ball is snapped. If it's go to 14, come back to 13, and the ball will be on the way, if he sees a safety at 14 or maybe close by, he might veer and head in a different direction. And that's what caused Roethlisberger to have to hold the ball so often, pump, double pump. Brady's not going to really be down with that. As good as Antonio Brown is. So do they have to give him a set of plays that are, you just run down there, get open, take a left wherever you want to, and we'll find you? That'll be interesting to see because everybody else has their roles and can deal with a night when they get four targets for 27 yards. Can Antonio Brown do that when he averages 10 targets a game for the course of his career since he's been a starter?
Tom Curran is my guest. We have him for a few more moments. So Sunday, okay. Tom, you've got the Patriots. One last thought for you. They're playing the Dolphins in Miami. The Dolphins are coming off an absolutely humiliating 59-10 loss. How do you see that game going? In other words, do the Patriots absolutely bludgeon the Dolphins, or maybe do they ultimately take it easy on Brian Flores?
I think, honestly, I think the latter at this stage of Bill Belichick's career. you know, if it gets to 28-3 in the third quarter, you're not going to see, you know, fake punts as the Ravens pulled out with the 35-3 lead in the first half, or 35-0, whatever the hell it was. I do think you'd see probably a lightening of on the gas pedal.
Tom Curran, Pat's insider, NBC Sports Boston, good friend of the program as well, giving us his thoughts on the Patriots. Tom, great to see you, man. Thanks so much. Great to have you on the program.
Hey, great hearing from you, and enjoy this. Enjoy the whole season, baby.
You know it. You too, Tom. You too, bro. I love Tom Curran. He's always a blast to talk to. Always has been. And we're officially underway. We've got a lot to cover. So he had made the argument before, you know what? Don't do it. Don't bring this guy in. And he said, yeah, I did say that. I absolutely did write that. But now that he's here, it's going to be interesting. Let's see how it goes.